When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
Boy, it's a hot one in the old city today. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 225, which I'm calling Summertime Stagnation. With the absence of summer movie blockbusters, major tech announcements, and the drying up of television series, a lot of facets of my tech and entertainment life are stagnant. I know, first world problems, right? I'm still very busy organizing my upcoming relocation, but that's neither fun nor entertaining.
No.
I'll be hanging in there, though. It'll get better, right?
Yes? No.
Yes.
Well, at least I hope. How are you doing today? I hope you and yours are doing just fine. Well, as they say, let's get the show started.
Okay.
Before I do get started, you may have noticed what appears to be distortion in the audio of this podcast while I'm speaking. What's causing it is the weather has been really humid around here, and to combat that, I have a fan running full bore as I record. Naked. Nah, I'm not really sitting here naked. I'm just stripped down to Speedos. Ah, give me a break. Anyway, while the noise gate built into my audio interface can get rid of background noises, once I'm speaking into the microphone, that background noise manages to come through. This forces me to use noise reduction processing, which gets rid of most of it, but some noise does make it through along with digital artifacts of the audio plugins. Once I settle into my new place, well, all will be well. Tech news. Here's a strange article from Gizmodo.com, which has the following headline. Quote, Apple rumored to be working on AirPods with built-in cameras. Unquote. When I first read that headline, my old fart brain assumed it was about HomePods, which are smart speakers, not AirPods, which of course are earbuds. Putting a camera on a HomePod sort of makes sense, but on an AirPod? Upon actually reading the article, something I recommend to all those that read only that and maybe the tagline,
yes.
I found out that the author is referring to infrared cameras, not photo or video cameras. The information for the article comes from the infamous supply chain analyst Ming-Chi Kuo. Old Mr. Kuo has been silent lately, or more likely he's just not getting the press coverage he used to. Well, who knows and who really cares? Anyhow, according to Mr. Kuo, these infrared cameras could be used to augment Apple's current and future virtual reality headsets with enhanced spatial audio features. This is referring to the Vision Pro VR goggles. Hey, remember them?
No!
Yeah, I barely do. The YouTube channel, The Friday Checkout, reported that the market for VR headsets bottomed fell out last quarter as consumers lose interest, and because of the economy, they have less cash to spend.
Come on, man.
For non-virtual reality uses, the cameras could be used for in-air gestures for controlling functions on the AirPods.
What?
I don't know how many people would be interested in features like that, though. We look foolish enough with AirPods sticking out of our ears. You add in some gesticulations and you'd look like a laugh riot. These IR camera-equipped AirPods are slated to go into production for release by 2026, according to the article. But aren't Vision Pro headsets already equipped with audio? Well, speakers that mount near your ears at least. I believe IR camera-equipped AirPods could enable health monitoring features or maybe to equip upcoming Apple augmented reality spectacles, which would resemble prescription glasses. Now that I can see, and I guess now hear. There would be no room to mount speakers on the frame of these AR glasses, so of course they would require separate earbuds. Now that's something I could get behind, and I hope the giant fruit company can produce them by 2026. I'm referring to the glasses. I'd buy a pair of these type AR glasses before I'd even consider purchasing VR goggles any day. From Breitbart.com comes the following headline. Proton launches Google Docs rival with enhanced privacy features, unquote. Proton, a privacy-orientated email and later VPN company which is run out of Switzerland, has started to release Proton Docs, a privacy-focused document editor. Proton Docs is not a standalone application. It will become part of the company's Drive app, which is a cloud-based storage system. This release comes on the heels of Proton's recent purchase of Standard Notes, so it's not so far of a leap of logic to conclude that this new word processor is based on Standard Notes. Proton states that this release is just another step in the company's bid to rival Google Workspace and Microsoft 365. A PR rep for the company said that every service Google has is on Proton's radar. Yeah, they're serious, I guess. I've used, well, kind of sparingly, the free tier of Proton's mail service since forever, and I can say it's a solid alternative to other secure mail services. Well, we'll just have to sit back and wait to see if Proton can compete with the big boys, though, and know that I'm rooting for them. In another story that's a week late, I forgot to include it in last week's episode, and it's something I seem to be doing lately, is that Spotify is allowing premium subscribers like myself to downgrade their subscriptions from the $11.99 tier to a $10.99 tier that would exclude audiobooks. I guess Spotify received some pushback after the company's recent price hike for premium subscribers last month. I'm sure many complained that audiobooks, which was sort of used as justification for the price hike, were a feature that they didn't ask for or expect to use. I briefly considered downgrading my subscription in order to save a buck a month, but I actually like and use the audiobook feature. In the past, I was an avid reader, but that has fallen off for me over the last few years. So if I can't read books, well, why not listen to them? Now, I don't listen to audiobooks enough to justify like a monthly subscription to Amazon's Audible, which would cost me between $7 to $14 per month. But Spotify's 15 hours of listening time per month is just about right for me. Spotify allowed me to complete spy thriller author Mike Herron's Slough House series of books, and I eagerly await new books in the series. And it's been a couple of years since the last one, and I hope that the author hasn't gotten bored of writing them. Some episodes ago, I kind of went on a rant about the inaccuracy of the three, count them three, weather apps I use. I lamented about Apple buying what was the most accurate weather app I've ever used, which was Dark Sky, and supposedly incorporating it into the company's own weather app. I feel Apple didn't incorporate all of Dark Sky into their app because the weather forecasts it spews out aren't nearly as accurate as Dark Sky's were. Now, I've tried Carrot Weather and Forca, and while slightly better than Apple's weather app, neither can hold a candle to Dark Sky. Well, an article from sfgate.com sort of vindicates me. Here's the headline from the article I'm referencing. Beware the weather apps, how meteorologists gauge California's heat, unquote. Now, I'm not in the state of California, but this still applies to my self-declared vindication. The article quotes meteorologists as saying you should ditch the apps and instead point your browser towards weather.gov. The weather apps we use pull their raw data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and either regurgitates that data straight to you or blends it with their own algorithms to come up with the forecast. What local meteorologists do is take the same raw data, and besides running their own algorithms, they figure local readings, past occurrences, and other historical data into the mix. Hey, are you still with me? The meteorologists in the article claim that what they do is not able to be coded. Yeah, well, that sounds like job security to me, but they're onto something. Now, how does this explain the uncanny forecasts of the late great Dark Sky app? Dark Sky was always a paid app. It never had a free version. I think I paid five early 2000s bucks for the iOS version and Android version each. Later on, Dark Sky went to a subscription model, which probably doomed it because new signups probably dropped off a cliff, allowing Apple to swoop in and buy the company. I'm just guessing here, but in order to have such uncanny precipitation predictions, the old Dark Sky probably pulled data from the NOAA, regional offices of the NOAA, and local meteorologists, the latter at a cost, and then blended it into their algorithm. Combined with server space and such, I'm sure the cost of providing the micro forecast Dark Sky was famous for grew with each new locale added. When Apple took over, they probably kept everything the same, but once realizing the cost, dropped the local meteorologists, saving both money and server space requirements. Hence, no more accurate precipitation alerts. That's all I've been able to come up with anyway. What's your opinion on this? Are the weather apps you use as accurate as you'd want them to be? As an aside, I'd like to ask, whatever happened to the Twitter Knee X killer apps, Blue Sky and Threads?
I don't know.
These two social media platforms were supposed to be the harbinger for the imminent death of Twitter, now X. At least that's what the elites of the press and some elected officials were telling us. These elites were upset about policies implemented by new owner Elon Musk. Policies like no shadow banning, no taking down of posts because they challenge the current government narrative, and the worst policy of all, fact-checking, applied to everybody, no matter what side of the political divide the author was on.
Oh no!
A recent example of this was a post from the Vice President of the United States, Kamala, also known as Mamala Harris. Not only was Mamala fact-checked by the community, but Elon Musk himself replied stating, quote, "When will politicians, or at least the intern who runs their account, learn that lying on this platform doesn't work anymore?" Unquote. Gone are the days where the only point of view left unchallenged only went in one direction, which was the hard left. That's why the elites hate Elon Musk and X. The bubble they lived in was popped, exposing them to the same rules as us peasants. Blue Sky was the first social platform to be hailed as a savior by the elites, but upon using it, they realized that A, hardly anyone is on the platform, and B, the bias is so strong on Blue Sky that even they were scared off of it. Now, I do have a Blue Sky account, and I can tell you firsthand that absolutely nothing is happening on it. When I first signed up, I did accumulate a small following, but as soon as I posted the first episode link to this podcast, well, that all went away. I have exactly zero followers on Blue Sky, and the only accounts I follow are podcast-related. When Threads was introduced, the elites boasted of how many people jumped on board, not realizing that Meta, who runs Threads, simply transferred all the accounts from Instagram over to it. Nowadays, you don't hear a peep about Blue Sky or Threads. Mastodon was another great hope, but that open-source platform doesn't have the polish or features of X. So, the elites have to continue using X in order to have any kind of sizable audience, but now with what they consider limitations. To me, this is the perfect definition of stuck between a rock and a hard place, and deservedly so. As far as the younger generations, I have no idea what they are utilizing for social media, but I have a feeling that it's not Blue Sky, Threads, or X. Perhaps it's a TikTok.
China.
What happens if TikTok owners, ByteDance, China, decide not to divest from TikTok and just pull it from the United States? Well, I feel this is an opportunity for some enterprising young soul out there to innovate and make some serious money. Tech I'm using. Though I consider leaving my MacBook Air down in Tennessee upon the next trip down there, I've changed my mind. I just find having it with me more convenient than not having it available. I do most of my writing on it, especially when I'm exiled to the kitchen by the one whom must be obeyed. It's just a lot more easy to pop open the lid and start typing rather than having to fire up the desktop, though I love typing on its mechanical keyboard. Well, that might all change when I finally move to my new house for good, but for now I'll be keeping the MacBook with me. Well, my super expensive home security system for the new place is working well. Though mostly what I get is alerts from people's cars and in some cases trucks pulling up into my driveway in order to turn around. Up here in New York, it's considered to be bad form doing this, and it hardly happens. I feel it's just rude to do this, especially when it's dark out and the vehicle's headlights illuminate the interior of your house. Still no delivery date in regards to our new furniture, which delays the purchase of my computer desk and chairs, along with some other items. I'll be giving the furniture store a call come tomorrow. I hope that at least they have some status on my large order from them. Update. I heard from the store while recording and have a tentative delivery date of July 23rd. That most likely means I'll be heading down to Tennessee on the 21st of this month. With the aforementioned introduction of Proton releasing a word processor, I thought I'd give the Proton Suite a try. Sort of putting my money where my mouth is situation. The suite consists of email, calendar, VPN, password manager, and cloud clients. I opted for the cheaper plus subscription and gave it a whirl. Well, only the cloud client works across all devices. Of all the other clients, while accessible via Proton's website, you only get the updated Drive client. The other clients default to the free versions while on other devices, meaning that only the iPhone versions of Proton's apps reflect the upgraded capabilities.
What?
Yeah, major bummer. You either have to upgrade to the highest tier of subscriptions or pay an extra fee per client to get the upgraded features.
What the hell?
Either way, it greatly increases the cost of using the Proton Suite. Even in order to download and use the desktop apps, you have to be subscribed to the expensive higher tier. A bit of dirty pool, if you ask me. I feel that at this point, the Proton Suite of apps are very much a work in progress. Once they merge all of the various clients into one comprehensive subscription package, hopefully at a better price, then I'll give it a second look. The Proton Suite still doesn't include a chat or video conferencing client yet, which puts it out of competition with its competitors when it comes to business users. Now, I can't comment on the word processor. It hasn't rolled out to the U.S. as far as I can tell. Perhaps it will next week. Who knows?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 10 for 10 on items like Lay's Stacks, Rice-A-Roni, and Sparkling Ice Sparkling Water for $1 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertainment news. Being the old fart that I am, the 4th of July holiday, which is the United States Independence Celebration if you didn't know, just doesn't jazz me up like it used to. Gone is my eagerness to witness the many fireworks displays, both state-sanctioned and those that are not. I've been there and done that many times before in my lifetime. Also, not as many private citizens partake in the festivities by lighting off their own personal supply of fireworks lately, at least around here. Well, that's because of New York State's major crackdown on the purchase and use of personal fireworks. Also, a lot of people don't have the extra cash to spend on them these days, which is, you know, unfortunate.
Come on, man.
It was very quiet this year, the quietest I've experienced since I've moved back to this area some 25-odd years ago. So, what did my lovely wife and I do instead on this joyful occasion? Well, we fired up Netflix and watched the new Eddie Murphy vehicle, Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is the fourth entry in the franchise. The last Beverly Hills Cop movie was released back in 1984.
Wow.
Meaning 30 years have gone by before the release of this latest installment. I had low expectations going in for this movie, but look forward to seeing it because of the feelings of nostalgia it might bring me. I didn't expect the movie to be able to capture the 80s and 90s feeling that the first three had, but Axel F. tried its hardest and almost managed to pull it off. A lot of the music in the movie was from the original movies in the series, and many of the original actors returned to reprise their characters from the other movies in the series, some having more screen time than others. We found Beverly Hill Cop, Axel F., both well-written and acted, and most importantly, very entertaining with no agenda or message being hammered home. Unlike a lot of the reboots and movies in general these days. Just carefree humor combined with over-the-top action. Could it have been better? Well, sure, but compared to many modern movies, it was successful in accomplishing what it set out to do, and that was to entertain its audience. Like all fictional stories, one has to suspend certain beliefs, and this movie, of course, is the same. The only belief that I found hard to suspend was the fact that Eddie Murphy's character, Axel Foley, would still be a street cop after 40 years. The first movie released way back in 1984.
What?
Yeah, a very long time ago.
Yes.
And that's because eventually you hit a wall in your law enforcement career when you're not getting any more substantial increases in pay. So one is essentially working for half wages or less, because if you retired, you would be getting paid a pension roughly equal to half your base pay. What most cops do once their promotion prospects dim is retire while still young enough to get another job. I know I'm nitpicking here, but hey, that's just me. To wrap up, Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., was surprisingly one of the better movies I've seen in a long time, and certainly one of Eddie Murphy's best efforts since he fell out of vogue back in the late 90s. Oh, this movie was much better than the reboot of Coming to America. Next, I would like to see a reboot of 48 Hours, though Nick Nolte would not be believable as a still-on-the-beat cop because of age, which Mr. Nolte looking every second of his 83 years. Drugs and alcohol will do that to you, kids. Perhaps he could play a now-retired cop who's become a grizzled old private detective, and Eddie Murphy could play an old ex-con. Yeah, one can only hope. The latest episode of The Boys on Amazon Prime was one of the most boring of the entire series, in my opinion. Very disappointing, even with the plot twist at the end. I wish the writers would get back to writing a good script rather than their apparent concentration on making fun of us unsophisticated, non-major city-dwelling folk.
Yes.
It's all just starting to get old. You know, what do I mean, starting? It is old and has been going on 10 years now. I watched the complete first series of Paramount Plus's Lawman Bass Reeves and enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll see a timely release of a second season, if it's renewed, that is. I'm now looking forward to Apple TV Plus's excellent series Slow Horses, which premieres September 8th, Paramount Plus's Tulsa King, which comes out September 15th, and Hulu's Only Murders in the Building, which debuts August 27th. By then I should be well settled into my new home, God willing. As far as movies are concerned, there is nothing presently nor slated for future release that I'm looking forward to, which sums up the movie industry in my opinion. Podcast news. Now it can be said it's official. In the last episode, I reported that though the Google podcasting app was supposed to be obsoleted, as it previously was in the United States, outside of the US, the app was fully functional and accepting new podcasts, all while still being available to download for iOS and Android. Well, as of Tuesday last week, that's no longer the case. The app has disappeared from all app stores and is finally non-functional. Now, Google Podcasts was a good listening app, if a bit basic, but its replacement, YouTube Music, is a sloppy mess in comparison. I decided to try and submit the OFNT's RSS feed to YouTube Music, but have had no joy in doing so. Then again, it's not a priority of mine, and I'd rather that any listeners that I have switch from Google Podcasts over to one of the new Podcasting 2.0 apps. Podcasting 2.0 apps use the Podcast Index in lieu of the Apple Index, and new episodes of shows post within minutes upon uploading. Another benefit of using the Podcast Index is no show will ever be canceled. Like the many that have been previously canceled, especially during the COVID event, by Google, Apple, and Spotify. For iOS users, Castomatic, with which I've had a love-hate relationship with over the years, well, I'm currently in a love phase with the app, has the best-looking user interface, in my opinion, and boasts many podcasting 2.0 features. For unlocking advanced features, Castomatic carries the lowest subscription price, which is $10 per year. That works out to less than $1 per month. Podcast Guru is another beautiful-looking app, though not as clean as Castomatic, but carries more of the advanced features of Podcasting 2.0, like live streaming notifications. Another is Fountain, which to this old fart has a confusing user's interface, but does one thing the other apps don't. If you subscribe to Fountain, it pays you for listening to shows via Bitcoin sats.
No!
You can then use those accumulated sats to boost shows you like. Fountain also is on the bleeding edge of podcasting 2.0 features. If you do use Fountain, you can follow, listen, comment, and hopefully boost the OFNT podcast using your hard-earned sats, as well as other shows, all from within the same app. I'm registered on it, that's why you can do those things. If you just want a podcast listening app to just, well, listen to podcasts, I'd go with Castomatic amongst the 2.0 apps. Android doesn't have as good of a selection of podcasting 2.0 apps, and the only one I've used in the past was Podcast Addict. That was before podcasting 2.0 was a thing, and I thought the UI was a bit archaic back then, but it was a solid app. However, the UI might have improved since then. The other Android apps just don't measure up to Podcast Addict features. For cross-platform listening, Pocket Cast is probably the best podcast listening app, but since being acquired yet again, I don't like the direction it's heading in. Unless you don't mind ads, you have different tiers to subscribe to in order to get rid of them. These subscription tiers range from $15 to $100 per year. When I first started using Pocket Cast, back in what I humbly refer to as the day, a subscription plan ran me $8 a year for all the advanced features. Also, Pocket Cast uses their own index, so many shows aren't available on it. To Pocket Cast's credit, they recently implemented the Podping protocol, which rivals podcasting 2.0's quickness for making shows available after a new episode of a show has been uploaded. I love the UI of the app, but for me, the lack of podcasting 2.0 features and shuttered index, along with the doubling of the subscription price, made me decide to cancel my subscription for good. Of course, there's Spotify, but again, the company uses its own index and many podcasts are not on the platform. The problem being that Spotify inserts its own ads for non-premium subscribers, but it doesn't pay the podcast host a cut of the revenues.
Huh?
Because of this, podcasts such as the No Agenda Show, Planet Rage, and others don't put their shows on the Spotify platform. Other serviceable cross-platform apps are Pandora, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. What's your favorite podcast listening app? Are you at all interested in podcast 2.0 listening apps? The music is playing as it always does, which means another episode of the OFNT podcast is almost done and dusted. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. Now, I love that you're here, but I'm afraid that you've overstayed your welcome. So get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.